say how good it is to see everyone today. We're glad that you're here. We have visitors with us. And we're glad that you are with us today. If you have any questions about our worship or about the Church of Christ, we'd be glad to sit down and study the Bible with you and answer a lot of questions. Pray with you, help you in any way that we can spiritually, and help you in your spiritual life. Let's bow to the word of prayer together. Father, we are grateful that we can meet together. We're grateful that you gave us your Son to die for our sins, to forgive us of our sins, to shed that blood that we would be forgiven. We're thankful, Father, that you established the church, the body of Christ, long, long ago, that someone taught us the gospel. Whether it be our mother or our fathers, maybe it was a friend or a neighbor, maybe it was a co-worker, maybe a relative, an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent. But we know in everybody's life there was someone who sat down and said, here's what the Bible says, here's what the gospel of Christ is all about. We're thankful for those people that were brought into our lives and who taught us and helped us to obey the gospel, to do your will, to be members of your kingdom. Bless us in our study this morning, Father, as we study things that are serious, things that are important. We pray in the name of Jesus, and amen. Now for our scripture reading this morning, I want to turn over to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19.
It causes trouble and instability.
Yes, it is true that there is a whole industry in divorce attorneys do exist now, and it has existed for a long time. But it causes families to have hurt feelings, it causes there to be troubles, it does hurt the community. And also, simply, God hates divorce because divorce is really a repudiation of one's word. When people get married, they often say, till death do us part. I realize that there are many marriage ceremonies now that do not say that. That people often today will just say that we promise to love each other till we part. It's almost like a recognition they're going to get a divorce, and we're just going to stay in love until that time if we get this divorce. Well, last Sunday I preached on the profound significance of I do. That everyone understand and realize the fact that when we get married, when a person gets married, that it is a very, very important and serious matter. Our society today treats it just like somebody's using a tissue. You know, if you don't like this person, just get rid of them and just get you somebody else. It's just not that way, not according to what God has said. Now, I realize that the fact that we have various situations in our congregation, we have some who have never been married, we have some who have been married but are now widows, we have widowers in our congregation, we have some that are divorced in our congregation, and all these situations are serious in their own particular way. But today I do want to talk about what the Bible does say about divorce. Now, I'm not talking to any particular person, or any particular family, or any particular situation. There are a lot of reasons why I preach on this subject. Number one, because the fact that the Bible does talk about it. And any topic that the Bible talks about, no matter what it might be, if the Bible speaks to it, that's God speaking. And if God is speaking about a particular topic, we need to understand what God has to say. Also because of the fact that there have been times when people have had a very un-Christ-like attitude towards divorced people. And sometimes people say, well, whatever goes on, does other chips fall where they may, it doesn't matter. I just go and let things go on like they are. But I think that's a very un-Christ-like attitude to take in these situations. Sometimes people are very upset. Most times people are extremely upset. And many times you have people that are in the middle of heartbreak, middle of just lives being just torn apart because of a divorce situation. And we need to be as sensitive and as supportive as we possibly can be. I am well aware of what I'm going to talk about today can affect almost anybody. I mentioned last week the fact that we are now seeing a situation in our society where people have been married 30, 40, 50 years and then decide to get a divorce. And why they do this is anybody's guess, but the fact is that this is something that is new. That it used to be that people would stay married 4, 5, 6, 7 years, maybe 10 years. They would say, well, maybe they've gotten over some of the rough spots and they obviously love each other. But now this seems to have changed in our situation, in our society today. In the Bible, there are really only two ways to end a marriage. Number one is by death. Paul talked about that in Romans chapter 7. If your spouse dies, that ends the marriage. That person can remarry. They are not an adulteress. They are not an adulterer because the first marriage has ended by death. And then the second way is by divorce. It is important because it does affect families. It has deals with feelings. It deals with personal situations. And I want people to understand that I have nothing but love for every person. If I know my own heart, I have love for people. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. I'm not trying to make anybody feel unwanted or unloved or anything of that nature. But we have to be true to God's word. And we need to listen to what God has to say. Now, a general look at divorce. It involves several things. First of all, as we said from the book of Malachi, God hates it. And we gave many of the reasons for it. There's a lot of teaching in the Bible about divorce. Jesus talked about it here in Matthew chapter 19. He also talked about it over in Matthew chapter 5. We know that it's talked about in the Old Testament, that Moses gave an allowance for divorce in Deuteronomy chapter 24. But look at the situation here in Matthew chapter 19. The Pharisees come to Jesus and they have this question. And it seems that what they're really trying to do is to have Jesus answer some question that where they can kind of trap him to say, this is contradicting what's in the law of Moses. You can't be the Messiah, you can't be the Son of God, because you're contradicting the law of God. Well, Jesus never, ever contradicted the law of God. Not one time. But they ask about this question about, is it lawful to put away your wife for every cause? Jesus tells them the original intent of God, that people are to be married. But they ask the question, well, then why did Moses give the writing of divorce? In other words, back in Deuteronomy chapter 24, why would Moses even bring this up? And Jesus tells them right out, because of the hardness of your hearts. It's not because God wanted to allow divorce. It's not because God recognized that being part of society. It's because of the sin on the part of the Jewish people that God didn't allow this at that time. There are a number of things God did allow in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, that he did not allow in the New Testament. Now, we need to also be aware of the fact of who in the Bible does the Bible say can get married. And there are three categories of people in the Bible that can be married. Number one, those who have never been married. Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians 7. He said, if you marry, thou hast not sinned. If a virgin marries, she has not sinned. People who have never been married, as long as they're marrying somebody that is eligible to be married to them, they have not sinned. Secondly, someone can be married if their spouse has died. A person can be married to somebody for any number of years, maybe just a few months, maybe a few years, maybe 50 years. The spouse dies, that person then is eligible to marry somebody else. There is nothing wrong. I have known one or two people who felt that it was wrong, that you were supposed to just be married to this one person. God created a situation where it's just you and that person. And when that person dies, you are not free to marry somebody else. Well, that's just not true. Paul said that you can marry somebody else. Now, the third situation is the fact of somebody whose spouse has been guilty of adultery. And that's what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew chapter 19, that the innocent party has the right to say, well, this person is guilty of the adultery or the fornication, that since they have done this, they have the right to divorce them and to remarry. This applies to all people. We have some people in the church today that are saying, well, this law about divorce only applies to people in the church. It doesn't apply to people around the world, just people in the church. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. All people are amenable to the law of Christ. If they aren't, then what law are they under right now? The question is, does Jesus have authority over all people on earth? Now, it's obvious not everybody's going to listen to Christ. It's obvious not everybody's going to obey Christ. It's obvious not everybody accepts him as the Son of God. But the fact is, he has authority all over the world right now. Now, there are a number of false ideas that have been taught. I want to deal with for just a moment this morning, is talking about this subject of divorce and remarriage. Some people have taught that if you're really going to be really pleasing to God, you forsake marriage. In other words, a person that is celibate is more holy than somebody who gets married. Well, that's just not the case. Paul talks about getting married in 1 Corinthians 7. Paul makes it clear that you can get married and you don't sin. Now, Paul says, as a matter of for the impending distress, that they may want to wait. That this may be something because whatever that is going to happen with, don't know what Paul was talking about, what the distress is. Some people think it had to do with persecution by the Jews. May have been persecution by the Romans. We're really not sure what that distress was. But the fact is, people can get married, and somebody can say, well, I'm holier because I'm not married. It's just not taught in the scripture. Some people have also taught the idea that it's wrong to ever get a divorce. There's a preacher up in Boston who wrote a little tract a number of years ago saying that nobody should ever get a divorce. That it's wrong for anybody, anywhere, anytime, any place to ever have a divorce. Well, that's just not true. Jesus gave a very strict ruling on divorce, but Jesus made the exception in Matthew chapter 19 and said, except it be for fornication. If you go over and read Luke chapter 16, in a parallel passage in Mark chapter 10, it doesn't mention the accepted clause, but it is mentioned here in Matthew chapter 19. It's also mentioned in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus made that exception that people whose spouses have been guilty of adultery have that right to divorce that person and to remarry. Now, do they have to? No, they don't have to. Is it possible that a person can have a spouse that has been unfaithful, the spouse repents, the spouse says, please forgive me, the spouse says, I want to work things out, I want to stay married, I really love you, I made a mistake, please forgive me. Is it possible for the innocent party to forgive them and for them to work that out? Yes, that has happened. But they have the right to divorce that person. Now, some preacher told me about a situation where a lady whose husband had been unfaithful to her, and then she forgave him, and they went on for about 20, 25 years. And after about 25 years, she got mad at him over some particular thing, went to the preacher and said, I want to divorce him because he was unfaithful. The preacher asked the details. It turned out that the man had been unfaithful 25 years ago, and she forgave him. Well, when she forgave him, that sin was blotted out, or should have been. She kind of kept it in her mind, so that if she ever wanted to divorce him, she could just pull that out and say, he was guilty of adultery. Well, I think that lady was wrong. By the very fact that she said she forgave him, by the very fact that she stayed married to him, by the very fact that they went on in their married life, showed that that sin should have been put away, that sin should have been gone. It is not a trump card, like in a game of cards, where all of a sudden you can play and say, aha, you were guilty 25 years ago, now I can use this to divorce you. That's just not the case, not at all. Some people say that the law of divorce does not apply to people outside of the church. That the law of divorce and marriage only applies to people within the church, and that anybody outside of the church can marry and divorce as many times as they want, and they're not guilty of violating the law of Christ. Usually people would cite somebody like Elizabeth Taylor or somebody else. Elizabeth Taylor was married 8 times, and divorced, I think one of her husbands died, but divorced about 7 times. And people would say, well, that's all right. And then Elizabeth Taylor then was baptized. Then she would have to stay married to the person she was married to at that time. But again, we ask the question, does Christ have authority all over the world? What does it mean when he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me? And if the law of Christ does not apply to people outside of the church, what about all these situations? What about the group marriage, where you have four or five couples, and they all just kind of swap partners back and forth, what they call group marriage? What about people that are committing fornication? Does the law of Christ apply to them? Certainly. What about people who have polygamy? Some countries, polygamy is allowed. What about the law of Christ? Does it apply to them? Certainly. What about other moral situations? Does the law of Christ apply to their personal lives? People would say, well, certainly the law of Christ would say that that man is sinning. What about if a man commits murder? Does the law of Christ apply to that man that commits murder? Well, certainly people say, yeah, the law of Christ applies to him. What about people who teach false doctrine? They're not in the Lord's church, but they're teaching false doctrine. Does the law of Christ apply to them? And certainly, again, we would say, well, yes, when it comes to doctrine, when it comes to morals, the law of Christ applies to them. But when it comes to this point about divorce, now they say, oh, that does apply. Why not? The law of Christ applies to everyone. I'm well aware of the fact that the world in which we live in is a world where people treat sexuality and they treat the idea of marriage as something that is not that important. People get married and divorced, married and divorced, married and divorced, and people just think it's just like changing socks. And it's not. There was a young man that came to see a preacher down in Florida. And the preacher was talking to the young man, and the young man said, I want to be baptized in Christ. I want to have the forgiveness of my sins. And the preacher was talking to him, and he just happened to ask a question, not really wanting to get on the topic, but he just happened to say, are you married? And the fellow said, sort of. The preacher said, sort of. What do you mean, sort of? You either are or you aren't. The fellow said, well, I'm living with a girl. The preacher said, well, you know, you can't do that if you're going to be a Christian. If you're going to be a Christian, you have to live a pure life. If you want to get married, I'll marry you. And he said, oh, no, we've talked about marriage, but she doesn't want to get married. She's not interested in marriage at all. The preacher said, well, look, you can come live with me, or you can live with one of the others. We can work something out. The fellow said, oh, no, I can't give her up. The preacher then said, if you are not willing to live a pure life, then really you're not ready to be baptized, because before baptism comes the area of repentance. That means that you're going to change anything that may be wrong. Now, sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's difficult, sometimes there are situations that are very difficult. But as members of the Lord's body, we should be willing to help people in those difficult situations. There are also questions that people ask about divorce and remarriage. Sometimes people ask, when they talk about Matthew 19, verse 9, about the idea of divorce and about the idea of fornication, does this mean only fornication of somebody of the opposite sex? And the answer to that question is no. I know of one case where a man walked into his home one day, found his wife in bed with another woman. He was shocked to find the situation. He was so shocked that he left that house that day, went and procured a divorce, never told anybody what had happened, never told anybody what he saw, because he had in his mind the whole idea of adultery was adultery with somebody of the opposite sex. The fact that he saw his wife having sex with a woman, I thought was not biblical. That's not what the Bible talks about, but it does. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 9, it says, as the word pornea. And that word pornea is where we get our word pornography from. That pornea, it means any illicit sexual relationship. And what it says, in effect, is that if a person is guilty of a sexual relationship with somebody of the opposite sex, if they are guilty of illicit relations with somebody of the same sex, if they are guilty of incest, if they are guilty of bestiality, any kind of sexual relationship would be in that general word of fornication. It does not have to be just a person of the opposite sex. Now, sometimes people ask the question, suppose I tried to keep my marriage together. Suppose I did everything I could, but there wasn't any adultery, but they just didn't want to be married. They just walked out and said, I'm tired of you, I'm tired of the situation. They just walked away, and they got a divorce, and they remarried. Does that give me the right to remarry? The answer to that is yes. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10 that if one marries another, Jesus didn't talk about the acceptance clause, but he said if they marry another, they commit adultery. In other words, suppose you have two people, and there is no adultery, but say they're arguing about money. That's all they argue about. They argue day after day after day, and all they argue about money. Finally, one time, the husband says, I'm tired of this, and I'm out. And he walks out. He gets a legal divorce, then he finds somebody else, and he marries that person. Has he committed adultery? And the answer, according to the Bible, is yes. You say, till death do us part, but he didn't. He slept with another woman, and that was adultery in that case. Sometimes people ask the question, well, what about baptism? Doesn't baptism wash away all sin? And if a person has been divorced and remarried, doesn't baptism wash that away? Well, baptism is washed away sin, but you have to remember what precedes baptism. Faith precedes baptism. Repentance precedes baptism. Confession of faith precedes baptism. And if a person is going to be baptized into Christ and have their sins forgiven, they have to repent. That doesn't mean that they have to give some sort of statement of sins that they've committed, no. But it means in their mind that they have decided, I've been following self, I've been following what I want, I'm now going to follow Christ. Christ is my Savior, Christ is my Lord, He is the one that I'm following. People sometimes ask the question, well, are there any examples in the Bible of people separating? And the answer to that is yes, both the Old and the New Testament. The Old Testament, Ezra chapter 10, Ezra told the people there that they had taken foreign wives and they would put them away. God's law had forbidden such in the Old Testament. They weren't to marry foreign wives. They had, and they were told to put them away. Now, I don't know how many people were involved in that situation. I don't know if there were children. I imagine there had been children. But I imagine that a lot of those situations were very difficult. But they were told if they were going to follow God, they had to put those wives away. You find a similar situation in the New Testament. It's still under the Old Covenant. But in Matthew chapter 14, John the Baptist goes to Herod, and he tells Herod that he is not lawful to have Herodias as his wife. The Bible doesn't say explicitly what was going on, but through history we know Herodias, Herod's wife, was still married to Herod's brother Philip. And she left her husband Philip, she married Herod, she lived with Herod as Herod's wife, and never got a divorce from her first husband. John the Baptist goes up to Herod and Herodias, and he tells Herod that it is not lawful for you to have her. And he lost his head in the process. Ultimately, he lost his head because the daughter of Herodias asked to have John the Baptist's head brought on a silver platter. Herod didn't want to be embarrassed over this, so he complied with that, and they did chop John's head off, and that is a situation, again, where John told Herod that he was living in an adulterous situation, that he should have separated in that situation. Now, sometimes people also ask the question, why aren't you breaking up homes? Aren't you making children suffer? Yes, that does happen. But we always need to remember sin has consequences. Sin has always had consequences. Sin always will have consequences. And yes, there are situations where it's sad. Yes, there are situations that are difficult. We had one in Memphis where a man and his wife, had been a member of the church for many years. She had been involved in numerous adulterous relationships with her first husband. She was guilty of that a number of times. She now decided she wanted to do what was right. There were children in the home, and they were about to make a decision that they would just live in separate bedrooms and stay in the house for the sake of their children. And sometimes something like that can be worked out. But we always need to remember that Christ's law is the same for everybody. And sometimes there are difficulties. And if we are called on to even give up our lives, if we even give our very lives for the cause of Christ, should we not be willing to give up somebody if we're in an unscriptural marriage? And one more thing that I want to bring out, and this is before we close this lesson this morning. Quite often people hear a lesson about divorce, and all of a sudden they make assumptions and they make statements that they really need to proceed very, very carefully. I've had a number of people say, look, I heard that lesson on divorce, and I've got questions, and that's fine. And if you have questions, you want to ask me about questions, that's fine. If you want to study this issue a little bit more, that's fine. If you want to talk about it, that's fine. But I would always, always tell people, proceed very carefully and really look at everything the Bible says and look at your situation. Sometimes people have told me facts that may have had made the wrong assumption about this man, or made the assumption that because his wife was guilty of homosexuality, that she was not committing fornication. Well, she was, but he had the wrong assumption. And many times that's the case, people have made wrong assumptions. Now, is this difficult teaching? Yes. If you go on to read a little bit farther in Matthew 19, the disciples tell Jesus, this is hard. This is difficult. He said, better maybe never get married. Jesus says, this is the case. They said, to whom it is given, this teaching is given. And people need to think about this. We need to tell people, if we find that they are getting into a situation of divorce, what the Bible says. We need to encourage them to try to work things out. We need to encourage them to go to counseling. We need to encourage them to go back to the Bible. Go back and read the Bible. Sometimes I've told people, go back and listen and reread your marriage vows. Go and read what you said when you got married. Think about that. Think about the fact of how you felt about this person. Think about all those important things when it comes to dealing with the very important and sensitive issue of divorce and remarriage. There are many more things we could say about this topic, many more things we could say about the topic of marriage. I think that's all we will do for right now. Again, we're going to give the invitation to anybody who has not obeyed the gospel. We invite you to do so this morning. Believe in Christ as the Son of God, and you want to repent of your sin, confess your faith in Christ, and put him on in the water of baptism. Why not do that this morning? If you're a child of God, you realize you need to dedicate your life. Why not do that this morning? Whatever your needs might be, we invite you to come. We encourage you to come. We want you to come. Understand as we said.